Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Zvachim daf Ayin Beis. We are holding on daf Ayin Aleph and Beis, two lines from the end of the page, Dehedyot Nami. Today's show is once again sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, Eileen Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha, La Shalom, the Neshama Shav and Aliyah. We thank him very, very much for the continued sponsorship of the Daf Yomi. So what we're going to talk about today is just basically two things. First, we're going to finish up the discussion from yesterday, and we're going to talk about why our Mishnah is not redundant, considering that we have a very similar halacha to in a Mishnah already in Meseches Avodah Zarah. And then the Gemara is going to talk about why it is that we do not apply the concept of bittul berov to animals that cannot be brought as karbanos, that are mixed together with animals that can be brought as karbanos. Why don't we assume bittul berov? And the Gemara is going to talk about the concept of davar shebeminyan and what its parameters are. That one of the exceptions to the laws of bittul is when you have a davar shebeminyan and it cannot become batel. What exactly are the parameters of davar shebeminyan? Es shedarko limanos, kol shedarko limanos. So a very fundamental sugya in Hilchos Tarovos. So to begin, again, we were discussing yesterday, we had our Mishnah, the first Mishnah in the eighth Perek, where the Mishnah spoke about, the first case the Mishnah spoke about is that you have animals that are asr ba'anah, not only asr to bring as a karban, asr entirely, asr even for a hedyot, and those animals get mixed in with karbanos. So we said they're all going to have to die because there's no way to solve such a problem. And then we had a second case in our Mishnah where you had animals that are not asr ba'anah, just animals that are possible to use as a carbon, and they get mixed in with other animals that are carbonos. So then we had an eitzo, what to do. So then we said that the yiruach yistavu v'yumachru, so you let it graze till it develops mum, you sell it, you buy b'dmei yafesh ben. So there's an eitzo to make it work. So yesterday we discussed why is that second halacha necessary in our Mishnah? It's already a Mishnah elsewhere. We already have a Mishnah elsewhere that teaches us that same din, and that's a Mishnah Meseches Temura. And we answer, no, the big chiddush of our Mishnah is the first case. That in the first case, we speak about that which is asur even for a hedyot, and to tell me that there's no bittul on that, and that they're all going to have to die because there is no bittul, that's the huge chiddush of our Mishnah. So now the Gemara picks up on that and says, well, that's not a great chiddush either, because that also appears in another Mishnah. How can you say the chiddush of the Reisha, the chiddush of our Mishnah is the Reisha of our Mishnah, that the Chachamim are not mekil in a case where a behema is mixed in with a behema that's asr bahana is mixed in together with behemos that are meant to be used as a karban, that we asr all of them to hedyot nami tanale, the idea that a behema that's asr bahana even for outside of Agdish context asrs the entire taroves, we also know from a Mishnah elsewhere, and that's a Mishnah the Mishnah says the following things are asr bahana'a, and they asr any taroves, even b'kol shehein. There is no bitul, not perov, not b'shishim, not b'meya. They asr b'kol shehein. Yayin nesach v'avodas kochavim, that which is yayin nesach, that which is avodah zara. So if the Mishnah already teaches us that those things that are asr ba'anah, even for a hedyot, are going to asr their entire taroves, what is our Mishnah teaching me? So says Gemara Tzrichi, we need our Mishnah and we need the Mishnah Meseches Avodah Zarah. Di mehasam, if we only had the Mishnah Meseches Avodah Zarah, hava amina lehedyot. I would say, you know why the Chum said there's no bittul in such a case? Because it wasn't talking about karbanos. The loss that would be sustained by asring everything is a loss. To people, it would be a loss to individuals that okay, I had a lot of wine and now some yayin nesach got mixed into that wine, now I have to throw out all of my wine. Okay, that's terrible, but it's not as bad as the Beis HaMikdash losing out, as Hektish losing out, avalu gavoa emalo nafsedinu lukulu. But when it comes to something that's going to be a loss lugavoa, maybe I would think that we're not so willing to say just throw them all out, let them all die. No, it's going to be a loss lugavoa. maybe I would think they would do something to be mivatal Yisra, to be mivatal Yisra Noah in the behemoth that's also banah in the other behemoths that are viable karbanos. So then maybe you could allow them all to graze until they develop a mum, and you could be po to them and use that money to buy karbanos of the min that was in that tarovis. So that's why our Mishnah has to tell me that even when it's going to be a loss of the gavoa, bittel does not work, right? The Shidduch Betzos raises the question, how is it possible to say that had it not been for the Reisha of our Mishnah, when the Isser was only the Gavoa, there should be Bittul so that there shouldn't be a loss to Hegdish? What do you mean? Isn't that what the Mishnah and Temur already covered? That even when Legabe Gavoa, there's no Bittul? So Mela, our Mishnah is going to still be extra. Because the idea that there's no Bittul when the Isser is Legabe Hedyot, that we learn from the Mishnah Maseches Avodah Zarah. My Yayin, a little bit of Yayin Nesach gets mixed in, I lose. So that I get from Maseches Avodah Zarah, that I would have to lose. And the idea that there's no Bittul when the Isser is Legabe Hegdish, that I learned from the Mishnah Maseches Temura, that you have that which is possible to be used as a karban, and it gets mixed in with animals that are kosher to be used as a karban, that there's no Bittul, and you have to do some sort of something to make it to make a mutter, because there's not going to be any Bittul. That I learned from Maseches Temura. So, but according to the way Rashi explains it over here, we could say that had it not been for our Mishnah, I would have assumed that when Isuri Mizbeach, that are Asur Bahana'a for a Hedyot as well, meaning like the Shard and Iskal, the Chatos and Mesos, meaning the cases in the Resh of our Mishnah, which are not only Asur for Karbanos, they're Asur for anybody to use, but they're getting mixed in with Karbanos, with Zvachim that are Kasher, so granted the Isur Gabe Hegdish is not going to be Batel, and therefore you're not able to bring all of the karbanos because of the behemoth that's asura that's mixed in with them, like the Mishnah in Temura says that the Yisra L'Gabe Hegdish does not become Batal Barov, but there would have been room to say that the Yisra Hana L'Gabe Hedyot will be Batal Barov, and since it's Batal Barov, you could wait until it develops until all the behemoths develop a mum, and then you could sell it to a Hedyot, and it will become Chulin, and use the money that you got to become Kedusha, and buy new behemoths for a karban, and it will turn out that it doesn't have to be a loss for Gavoa, and the Hedyot could get Hana from the behemoths that are Nifta, because it's an Isra Hana that the Isra Hana had become Batel. So that's what our Mishnah is coming to be Mechadesh, that even in a situation where there will be a Hefzid the Gavoa, the Isra Hana Legabe the Hedyot is not going to be Batel. And since it's not going to be Batel, you don't have this Takana of letting it go graze and develop a Mum, because even after it grazes and develops a Mum, it's still going to be Asr Lehedyot because of the Isr Hana'a Shebo. So what our Mishnah contributes is that it's a combination, meaning it's something that's Asr Lehana'a Behedyot, but the ultimate loss is Legavoa. That's the ratio of our Mishnah that we're talking about, Shara Niskal. We're talking about the Chatos HaMesos, that which is Asr Bana for everybody, and yet the loss ultimately is going to be sustained by Gavoa. That's the Chiddush of our Mishnah. V'imehacha, and if we only had our Mishnah, Hava Amina, I would have said the fact that we're so machmir in our Mishnah that there's no bittul and all these animals have to die is hanimili kachim dema'is. That's because what do you want these animals to be used for? You want them to be used for karbanos. I would say that's a little unbecoming that you're going to use tarovas that contain the surei hana'ah for karbanos. We're not comfortable with that. So our Mishnah says you cannot do that. Aval chulin deloma'is. But in the case of Maseches Avodah Zarah, where it's a little bit of Yayin Nesach that gets mixed in with my wine, I have no intention of using this wine in the Beis HaMikdash. I just want to drink, right? So it's not going to be so unbecoming to rely on Bittul. So Ema Yisurei Hana'ah Livtili Beruba. So maybe we should say that there is Bittul Berov on such Yisurei Hana'ah. So Tzricha. That's why we need the Mishnah of Avodah Zarah to tell me that even when the potential usage of it is not going to be for a karban, we're still not going to rely on, uh, on, on, on bittul. So those are the sensitivities that that each Mishnah alerts us to. That our Mishnah alerts us to the sensitivity that even though it's ultimately going to be a loss for Hegdish, we're still not going to rely on bittul. And the Mishnah Maseches Avodah Zarah tells us, even though it's not so unbecoming, because I don't plan on using it for Hegdish, I only plan on using it for myself, we're still not going to rely on bittul. That is the that's so. It turns out when all the dust settles in the sugya, what is the chiddush of each part of our Mishnah? What's the chiddush of the Mishnah in Temura? What's the chiddush of the Mishnah Maseches Avodah Zarah? Well, the first part of our Mishnah tells us that even when Hegdish stands to lose, there's no way to fix the taroves. You cannot be makrovit. You cannot let it graze and be poda it. The chamar machmir. There will be no bittul at all. The whole thing's going to be usher, and you're going to have to throw it all out. The second part of our Mishnah, where it spoke about things that are psulei hamukdashim, but they're not isurei hana'a. So it tells us that things that are usher legabi mizbeach, that are mixed in with other zvachim, that there is a takana to the taroves by letting them graze and then being poda. The Mishnah Maseches Temura is needed to tell me that isurei mizbeach that are mixed in with kasher zvachim, even echad beribo, the entire taroves becomes aser, and you're not allowed to bring those behemoths on the mizbeach. And the Mishnah Maseches Avodah Zarah is there to teach me that even by chulin that gets mixed in with isurei hana, it's not hegdish, it's chulin that gets mixed in with isurei hana. It's my own wine that gets mixed in with a little bit of yayin nesach. It asers the entire taroves as well. So each one of those four statements, the two statements in our Mishnah, the one statement in the Mishnah Temura, the one statement in the Mishnah Avodah Zarah, each contributes something to the conversation. Period. So now the Gemara asks a question that's going to take us through tomorrow's daf as well. V'nibtul beruba. Why is it that our Mishnah says that you have behemoths that you're not allowed to be makriv, that get mixed in with rov behemoths that you are allowed to be makriv? Why do we say that we have a problem? Just say that it's batal berov, and therefore the whole tarovus is fine. You have one problematic thing mixed in with, I don't know, 5, 10, 100 non-problematic things. So say that there's bittul berov. After all, the din of bittul berov we derive from the pasuk Achrei Rabim Lahatos. Achrei Rabim Lahatos teaches me not only Azlinan Basarubo, which is the pashup shot in the psukim, that if you have a vote of the Sanhedrin and there are 23 judges on the Sanhedrin, and 15 vote one way and 8 vote the other way, that Azlinan Basarubo, that we follow Rov Deos, that we follow the majority opinion. But it also teaches beyond that the concept of bittul berov, that when you have then when you have the tarovas, you have things that mix together, we assume that the minority is gone. It doesn't exist. It becomes nullified entirely in the majority. Question is that the way the Sanhedrin works as well? Because that's the context of the pasuk of Acharam Nahatos. Meaning when the Sanhedrin issues a psak, is it only Azlinan Basaruba, or is there also a Bittul Brov? Do we assume the 8 Dayanim that are the minority opinion have become Batel, right? So it could very well be that, yeah, that's also Bittul Brov, because you can't have a psak din from a Sanhedrin of 15 judges. Sanhedrin Ketana needs to have 23 judges. So what kind of psak din you can have when it's only 15 judges? So you have to say is that no, once there are 15 judges that vote one way and 8 judges that vote the other way, so Azlin and Basaruba, we now say that the entire Sanhedrin is issuing a psak in the direction that the 15 judges voted. But that's the psak of the entire Sanhedrin, because the 8 are batel in the 15, and it becomes the one unit of the entire of the Sanhedrin. But anyway, so v'niptul beruba, why don't we say that there's bittul berov over here, and you don't have to worry about anything. There's no fixing. You don't. There's no grazing. There's no throwing animals out. No letting animals die. They're all just batel. V'chitema, I know you're going to say that it's chashivi. No, these are animals, and they're each a davar chashuv, and therefore lo batli, v'lo batli, that which is chashuv does not become batel. Well, it depends how you understand the davar chashuv not becoming batel. Just how chashuv does something have to be in order for us to say that it defies bittel? Well, honey, chalamandi amar kol shedarko limanu shaninu. I understand if you're going to say that anything that people even sometimes count and sell by number, that that's already a chashuv enough thing that will not become batel, even though on other occasions those very same items will not be sold by number. On other occasions, those same items will be sold by estimating. Okay, this this warehouse full of, without saying how many of the item there is, or this the way many of the Rishonim learn the weight. If you sell by weight, Rabbeinu Yerucham writes that that's not considered to be a number. You're selling 10 pounds of cookies. I didn't count out how many cookies there are. 10 pounds of cookies that I'm selling. So that's not something that's sold by number. So if you hold just the fact that something is sometimes sold by number is enough for it to be considered a davar chashuv and not batel, so then I get that the behemah is not going to be batel, because behemahs are sometimes sold by number. You sell a small amount of behemahs. You're selling 3, 4, so you can identify how many. But you're selling a whole flock? You say, here's the flock. You're looking, you see as far as the eye can go, that's, okay, that looks like enough. I'm not going to start, was it 432 or was it 433? No, we're not counting them. It's just so behemah, I understand. It's chashuv enough because sometimes it's counted. El mandi amar es shedarko limanu shaninu. But if you all like the other opinion, that in order for something to become chashuv enough to defy bittel, it needs to be something that is always counted, that is never sold by weight, that is never sold by estimating, then ma'ikal meimar, then behemos are not chashuv enough, because behemos are sometimes sold by estimating, and they're not necessarily always sold by number. That is the way Rov Rishonim understand Kol Shadarko Limanos and Es Shadarko Limanos. There is one shita of the Ravya who says differently. He says Es Shadarko Limanos means something that had been usher from Me'es Shabaliolam, from the moment that it came into the world. So at that moment, we already counted it as separate from other things. We already identified it as problematic and therefore separated it from other things. Kol Shadarko Limanos is something that was not Ne'esar, Me'es Shabaliolam. The Isser came after some time, so it was not always designated as a separate Isser. But that's a very big Chiddush. The Pasha Pshat is the way Rov Rishonim understand that Kol Shadarko Limanos means anything that's even sometimes counted. Es Shadarko Limanos means things that are always counted. So our Gemara's question is, again, why is it that we don't say the behemah is batel barov? We have this whole Mishnah that makes so much problems for us. They have this behemah that cannot be used as a carbon, gets mixed in with other behemahs. Oy vey, what do I do? What do you mean, what do I do? It's batel barov. So if you're going to tell me that a behemah is chashuv enough to not be batel barov, I understand our Mishnah. But if you're going to tell me that a behemah is not chashuv enough to defy bittel barov, because only things that are always counted defy bittel barov, we're back to our kasha. How come this behemah isn't batel barov? It's apparently not chashuv enough. But before we answer the question, the Gemara just wants to verify that this is indeed a machlokas about how we define chashivos. Is it es shadark limanos? Is it kol shadark limanos? Where does this machlokas appear? So ditnan, it appears in a Mishnah in the third parak of Maseches Arla. Mishayilo chavile tiltan. If a person had bundles of a certain type of bean that they would use as a spice, that's what Rashi she writes over here in the Ksaviyad and Maseches Beitza, that the chashivus of tiltan is that it's a spice. And the Gemara Nechulin says that a tavlin afilu be'elef is not batel, and the reason tavlin is not batel afilu be'elef is very potent. So even just a little bit of it can make a major impact. So this is a very chashiv spice, and therefore is not likely to become batel. Now Rashi over here says that the chashivus of tiltan is because it's tam eitzo pir yoshava, that the eitz and the pri taste the same. So that makes it highly unusual. So it's very coveted kind of commodity. Okay, whatever the reason is, but chavili tiltan is a very chashivus thing, and you have chavili tiltan that are shalkilei kerem that happen to have grown right next to grapevines, and therefore they're aser bahana'a, because kilei kerem is aser bahana'a. So what do you do with these chavile tiltan? Yidal leku, you have to burn them. You destroy all of them, because the pasuk says by kilei kerem l'sizra karmacha kalayim pentikta shamleya hazera, and the Gemara in Kiddushin daf nun vav darshins pen tukdash pen tukad esh, meaning that you better be careful about kilei kerem pen tukad esh, because if you're not careful about it and you end up with kilei akarim, you're going to have to burn the whole thing. There's a din in the Torah that if it becomes asris kilei akarim, you're going to have to destroy you're going to have to destroy all the produce. Okay, so you have these chavilei tilton that are kilei akarim. There's no doubt what the halacha is. You burn them, you destroy them. They're kilei akarim. They're isurei anah. But what if nisarvu ba'acherim? What if those chavili tilton get mixed in with other chavili tilton that are not kilei akarim, that are heter, that are perfectly fine? And kilei akarim is not something that's a physically identifiable feature of these chavili. So you can't identify what's what. The whole thing, they're all mixed together, and some of them are Yisuri Hanah, and some of them are totally mutter. And then some have the gears and some do not. Va'achirim. And then those some, from that mixture that Chavili Tilton and that are Kilei Kerem and Chavili Tilton of Chulin get mixed in with even more Chavili Tilton. So the question is like what that adds, meaning L'chor, it's the same suffix. Meaning if you're going to say that the Chavili Tilton and Kilei Kerem, One bundle of Chavili Tilton of Kilei Kerem got mixed in with 10 bundles of Chulin Chavili Tilton. Fine, so that's the Taroves. And then from that Taroves, I pull out one bundle and it gets mixed in with 10 others, right? I pull out one bundle from that original Taroves and I mix it with 10 others of Chulin. Okay, so now I understand that any bundle of Chavili Tilton I take out from that second Taroves is really a Sfek Sveika, because Safek was the one I'm pulling out is from the original Taroves. And even if it was from the original Taroves, it's a Safek whether it was the original Isser, whether it was the Kilei Akarim. That's not what it seems to be saying over here. It seems to be saying, you take the whole Taroves of the 11 Chavilei Tilton, 10 of which are Heter, and one of them which is Aser, but you can't identify what's what, and you dump all 11 into another Taroves of 20 more. So it's just the same, it's not a Sfek Sveika, it's the same Suffolk. Anytime I pull out one, I don't know if it's the original or if it's not the original. So that's what we call Trey Ruby, that there's a double rove, that you had a rove and then you had another rove added on to the original rove. So whether that means anything or not is a major discussion among the Balei HaTosfos, right? A Svek Sveika means something, but does Trey Ruby actually mean something in such a case? That's a machlokas between the other Rabbeinu Tam and the other Balei HaTosfos. Okay, but the bottom line is that what matters to us over here is that you have a Taroves with an Isser Hanah in the Taroves, and that Isser Hanah is a Dover Chashuv. It's Chavilei Tilton, which is a very Chashuv thing. So Kulon Yidaleku Divra Meir. Meir says you don't have Bittel. You have to burn the whole thing. You have to destroy all of them because Chavilei Tilton are too Chashuv to become Batel. They defy Bittel. The Chum Omrim Yalu Bechel Masayim. The Chum say, no, they become Batel. How much do you need for bittel of kilei akarim? A 200-to-1 ratio is enough to be mevatel kilei akarim. It's a funny word to use for bittel, ya'alu. Ya'alu means to elevate, right? So why is that what we would call bittel? So the Rashi Maseches Beitza Daf Gimel Beis says Loshon ya'alu tells me a chiddush din that even when I have one bundle of problematic chavilei tilton gets mixed in with 200 bundles of not problematic chavilei tilton, so there's bittel according to the chachamim. You can't eat all 201. You have to take one of them, any random one, because you can't identify what's what, any random one, and throw it out. And then you could eat the other 200. So ya'alu means that you have to remove something from the taroves to at least make it possible that you're not eating the iser, right? Meaning at least it's possible that you guessed correctly and that the one you pulled out and the one you threw out is gone. And that's necessary in order for the bittel to be chal. That is what Rashi writes in Maseches Beitza. That is a humongous chiddush. The Rash in Maseches Orla on that Mishnah, the Rashba Maseches Beitza, where Rashi says this, point out that it's beferish against another Mishnah in Maseches Arla. The Mishnah in the second paragraph of Maseches Arla says that Arla and Kilei Akarim are batel b'masayim, and you don't need to lift anything out of it, to remove anything from it. It's just batel. There's just this concept of bittel. So where do we get this number that it's batel b'masayim? I know of bittel b'rov. I know about bittel b'shishim. Where does masayim come from? Where does that idea that it's a 200-to-1 ratio in order to be Vatal Kilei HaKerem, so that is clearly only Midrabanan. Mina Torah, it's Batal Barov. The Mishnah Maseches Arla tells us that if you have Truma that gets mixed in with Chulin, the Din Midrabanan is you need Meya, connected the Truma to be Mevatal it, whereas Arla and Kilei HaKerem, you need Midrabanan Masayim. Now, where do we get these numbers of Meya and Masayim? The Chum just pulled out of a hat these random numbers. So the reason they were Machmir by Truma to say that you need Meya, the Sifri writes in Parshas Korach, and the Yerushalmi explains as well, that the Chachamim were made an asmachta on the pasuk by Trumas Meiser. That by Trumas Meiser says, Mikol Mat Nosechem Torimos, Kol Trumas Hashem, Mikol Chelbas Mikdosho Mimenu. So we darshan that the same shir that's Mechayiv in Afrashas Trumas Meiser, which is Echad Mimeya, because Meiser Rishon is 1/10, and then Trumas Meiser is 1/10 of that, so that's Echad Mimeya. So Echad Mimeya of your original silo is going to go for Trumas Meiser. So Kozman, that it's in the tavua, it's still going to asra all the tavua. So we're going to say by truma when you have it, meaning kolzman that you were not mafresh trumas meiser, the whole thing is tevel. So too when you have truma that has been separated and then falls into a taroves, we're going to say the same ratio. We're going to say the same 100 to 1 ratio. How do I know that kilei hakerem requires masayim and that orla requires masayim? So the Yerushalmi explains that the limud by Kilei HaKerem, not being batal barov, is from Bikurim or from Truma, because it says Melei Ascha v'demacha losa acher, and by Kilei HaKerem it says Pen Tikdash Hamaleya Hazera. So we darshan Maleya Maleya Bigzera Shava. That by Truma and Bikurim it says Maleya, and by Kilei HaKerem it says Maleya. So if by Truma and Bikurim we're going to say it's not batal barov, Kilei HaKerem is also not going to be batal barov. And Arla we learn from Kilei HaKerem because they're both Yisurei Anah. So says Yerushalmi, that's great. Now you told me that it's not batal barov, but why isn't it batal b'meya? Where did you come up with masayim from? That Orla and Kilei HaKerem needs masayim. So the Yerushalmi explains that the isra of Kilei HaKerem is different than truma. That truma is asur ba'achila and mutar ba'na. Kilei HaKerem and Orla are asur ba'achila and asur ba'na. So kashem shekafal bi'isuro, kach kafal b'shiuro. That just like there's a double isser, and it's not really quantitative difference, it's a funny expression, right? That when it comes to truma, the isser is only achila, yet when it comes to kilei hakerem and orla, the isser is both achila and hana'a, so it's a double isser. So just like it's twice as much of an isser, so it's twice as much of a shear that you need for bittel. A little bit of a funny drasha, but the whole thing is only in a smacht, it's the rabbanon made it, I mean, it's a din rabbanon, it's not a din daraisa. Okay, but back to our story over here. The Gemara wanted to know, where do we ever find a machlokas es shadarko limnos? Kol shadarko limanos. What is chashuv enough to defy bittel? Something that is chashuv enough to sometimes be counted, or something that's chashuv enough to always be counted? So we brought in this Mishnah in Maseches Arla, that you have chavilei tilton, and we have a machlokas whether it becomes chavilei tilton of kilei hakerem, and we have a machlokas whether it becomes batel b'masayim. So Rabbi Meir says, no, it's never batel, burn the whole thing. And the Chum say, yes, it can be batel, as long as you have the proper shear. You have a 200-to-1 ratio. Shahaya Rabbi Meir Omer, because Rabbi Meir holds, kol shedar koli manos mekadesh, anything that's sold b'minyan is going to asher the entire tarovus and will never become batel. So this tilton is something that is davar she b'minyan. It's chashuv enough because it's counted separately and therefore it does not become batel. And the Chum say, no, there are only 6 things that are chashuv enough for them to defy bittel. And chavili tilton is not one of those 6 things, and may the chavili tilt can become batel as well. Rabbi Kiva Mershiva. Rabbi Kiva says, I agree in principle with the chachamim, but I think there's a 7th item on the list of things that are super duper chashuv, and therefore can never become batel. But chavili tilton is not on that list. What is on that list? So ve'eluhain, the 6 things are as follows, and we'll see what Rabbi Akiva's 7th is, but they are as follows. Number one, egoze perech. Egozim that come from a place called perech. That's how Rashi says over here, that perech means it's the name of the place that it comes from. That's what the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayos. That's what the Rash writes as well. Tosos, however, and the Rash quotes this day as well, says that perech is loshem nifrach, that it's an egoz, that the shell it just comes right off in your hand. So from the Pasuk, ginas egoz yeraditi, that that the Jewish people are compared to in egos, that there are three minim, and one of them is an egos perach, shenifrach me'atzmo, that it just sort of, the shell falls apart in your hand. So the Aruch Liner says, I can reconcile those two shittos. Right, one sheet is that it comes from a place called Perech, and the other one says that no, it's a description of the physical egos, that it's Parach, that the shell. He says, well, if the place is known for, you know, different places are known for what they produce. You know, you go to Philadelphia, and they're known for their cheesesteaks. I mean, for Jews, it doesn't do it. But you go for certain places. They're known for certain things. This place was known for their egozim. So probably the place was called Perech because of the egoze Perech that it made. So probably they're both true, says the Aruch Liner. But anyway, so these are very, very chashuv, and therefore they're not batal. V'rimoni badan, and the rimonim that come from a place called Badan apparently were fabulous rimonim. And third, v'chavios stumos. You have barrels of wine that are sealed, and the wine is arla or kilei akerem, so it will never become batal. Now, if it was chavios psuchos, they become batal b'masayim, because once they're psuchos, they don't have the chashivos anymore, right? Once you see the package has been opened, so it's not as chashiv of a thing anymore. Now, Tosfos writes that the din of chavios tumos is talking about where there were chavios of shemen zayis or yein tapuchim. However, the Miri says that we could just be talking about chavios of regular shemen, that yesh mefarshim, like Tosos, that could even be talking about chavios of shemen, but I don't think so, says the Miri, because only chavios of yayin is there such a maila to be stumos, because yayin has a fragrance, has an aroma to it, so when it's sealed, it maintains that fragrance, it maintains that aroma. Once you open the bottle, so it starts losing its character already. Shemen, it shouldn't really make a difference whether it's stumos or psuchos. So that's what the Miri points out. He's not convinced that these chavios could be oil as well. It could be that we're only talking about barrels of wine, and the wine is arla or kilei akerem. So we say it's so chashuv to have a sealed barrel of wine that it's never going to become batel. Item number four of the list of six that will never become batel, v'chilfei tradin, the leaves of tradin. The number five, v'kilchei kruv, the stalks of cabbage that grow in Eretz Yisrael that are apparently very, very chashuv. The sugyas in the end of Ksubas, where it talks about the shevach of Eretz Yisrael, where you have all the sugyas that talk about how amazing Eretz Yisrael is, it identifies these kilchei kruv as something that's a unique feature of Eretz Yisrael. And number six, udala'as yivanis, the gourds that grow in Greece. Something Greek and Chodesh Kislev, okay, a little bit of a definition. Okay. So the Dala'as Yivanis. So those are the six items that are so chashuv that they can never become batel. Rabbi Akiva says, I think there's a seventh. Afki Karashal Balabais. When you make your own sourdough, it is so chashuv to you that it will never become batel. Kikarashal Nachtom, you go, you buy it in the baker. Ah, they don't know how to do it. But Kikarashal Balabais, that is something that a person views as being very, very, very chashuv. They don't have the shel nachtam doesn't have the same chashivas. So these things will aser any tarovas that are put in, and therefore haray la arla arla haray la kilekerem kilekerem. If you have any of the items on this list that are asurei ana, whether they're iser arla, so then it will make the whole tarovas arla. If they're iser kilekerem, it will make the whole tarovas kilekerem. So far what we have is we try to just to get the structure of the daf. We asked, why is it that the behema that you're not allowed to bring as a karban doesn't just become batel when it gets mixed in with a bunch of other behemas that you can bring as a karban? So we said, well, I understand very well if you're going to tell me that anything that is sometimes counted is too chashuv to become batel, so the behema cannot become batel. But if you hold you need something to always be counted in order for it to defy bittel, well, then this behema should become batel. So the Gemara said, well, let's back up a step. Where do we ever find that there's a machlokas about what defines chashivas, something that's always counted or something that's sometimes counted? So we quoted this Mishnah Maseches Arla, where we have a machlokas whether chavilei tilton are chashuv enough to defy bittel. Certainly there are six things or maybe seven that are definitely chashuv enough to defy bittel, but there's a machlokas or a meir lechamim whether chavilei tilton are chashuv enough to defy bittel. What are they arguing about, right? What is the nekudas hamachlokas between Rameir and the Chacham about the chavilei tilton? So the Itmar Allah, so we said about this Mishnah, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, es shedar kolim manos shaninu, that when Rabbi Meir says that these items cannot become batel, it's because Rabbi Meir holds that chavilei tilton are too chashuv to become batel. They defy bittel, because he doesn't hold that in order to defy bittel you need something that's always counted, even something that some people sometimes count is enough to defy bittel. Rabbi Shimon Lakish Amar Kol Shedar Kol Imanu Shaninu, that within Rameir holds anything Rabbi Yochanan Amar Es Shedar Kol Imanu Shaninu, that Rabbi Yochanan within Shitas Rameir says that Rameir holds that Chavilus Tiltan Aser the entire Tarovus. He doesn't hold that all the things that Aser that there are those that sell in Beminyan Asers the entire Tarovs and Anapatul Brov, only things that everybody is makbid to sell b'minyan is chashuv enough to be to defy bittel. Whereas Rabbi Shimon Lakish says, Kol Shadar Kol Imanu Shaninu, that the way to understand Rav Meir is that anything that a lot of people sell b'minyan, even if there are people that are not makbid to sell b'minyan, is also not going to be batel barov. And the chum hold that tilton is batel barov because there are only six things that will defy bittel. Meaning the machlokas Rav Meir and the chumim is not whether es shadarko or kol shadarko. The chum clearly hold in even more strict standard that it's not just everything that people are makbid to count by minyan is going to be is going to defy bittel. No, there are only six things that are super duper chashuv that will defy bittel. But there's a machlokas amorayim what Rabbi Meir holds. Why is it that according to Rabbi Meir the chavilei tilton cannot become bittel? Is it because chavilei tilton are es shadar kelimanos, or is it because chavilei tilton are Kol Shadar Kol Imanos? So it turns out this machlokas of Es Shadar Kol Imanos versus Kol Shadar Kol Imanos is not a machlokas Tanayim, it's a machlokas Amorayim within Shitas Rabbi Meir. Why does Rabbi Meir hold Chavilei Tilton are not Batel? Is it because Chavilei Tilton are exclusively sold by number, or that they are sometimes sold by number, and that's enough of a reason for them to defy Bittel? So now we're back to our question. So ha nichal Reish Lakish, El Rabbi Yochanan Meikel Meimar. So now reformulating our question, why isn't our behema that we were talking about, why isn't it going to become batel? So I understand if you hold like Reish Lakish, that anything that a lot of people count will not become batel. So behemos are a thing that a lot of people count. But if you hold like Rabbi Yochanan, that it has to be not just something that a lot of people count, you hold it something that has to be, that's exclusively counted, that the people always count it, well then how does a behema defy bittel? Behema is not something that's exclusively counted. Now, it's a little bit funny because it turns out that the machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish is a machlokas of metzius, right? Meaning they're arguing, are chavilei tilton exclusively counted or are they usually counted? So Tos Yishanim asks on Reish Lakish, how does he know that according to Rameir, Kol Shadar Kol Imanos Aser, Rameir only spoke about chavilei tilton. Chavilei tilton is something that's exclusively counted, meaning Tos Yishanim in Maseches Yevamos assumes that it can't be that they're arguing Metzius. It must be that Metzius, Chavilei Tilton, are always counted. But it could be that Rameir didn't need that in order to say it defies Bittel. That's the point that Reish Lakish is making. That Ein Achinami, Chavilei Tilton themselves are always counted. But Reish Lakish holds it doesn't need to always be counted in order to defy Bittel. But the Pashup Pshat is that they're arguing in Metzius. Now it happens to be we read the Gemara based on one Shita in Rishonim, which is the way Rashi learns the Gemara, Ben Chanan and others. However, there are three other ways to read this Gemara. Meaning we read the Gemara that the whole machlokas Kol Shadarko, Es Shadarko, machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish is machlokas within Shitas Rabbi Meir. Not everyone learns that way. It could be that they're explaining that this is the machlokas Rabbi Meir and Rabbanan. It could be they're arguing within Shitas Rabbanan. Right? there are other ways to learn the Gemara, but either way, we now have formulated the question that we wanted to ask, the one question on today's daf, which is why is it that the behemoth does not become batel if you assume that anything that in order to defy bittel you need something that's always counted. A behemoth is not always counted. So answer the Gemara, Amra Papa, Hai Tana Delitra Katsiosu. The Tana of our Mishnah is the Tana that's quoted in the Brisa of Litra Katsios. What's that? Damar Kol Davar Shiesh Bo Minyan, where he says anything that is that has a number, even though most people sell it based on estimating or based on weight, and most people do not count it. Afilu b'drabanan, even when you're dealing with something that's only nisid drabanan, lo batel, it will not become batel. The kolshkin b'daraisa, and all the more so when you're dealing with something that's nisid daraisa, if it gets mixed in with heter, it does not become batel, because the fact that people sometimes count it is enough to make it chashuv that it will defy bittel. So it turns out that there are three madregos. There are three things that are es shedarka limanos that are always counted. There are things that are kol shedarka limanos that many people count. And then there are things that are dover shiesh bo minyan that some people count. And we're saying that even if a behema is it were only something that some people count, that would be good enough, because our Tana is assuming like that shita, that there's a shita, meaning we had a machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, what shita's Rabbi Meir is. So it could be that Rabbi Meir requires that it needs to be something that's exclusively counted in order to defy bittel. But our Tana is not Rabbi Meir. Our Tana is the shita that holds even more kal, that he holds anything that's even sometimes counted is enough to defy bittel. And that's why the behema defies bittel. That's from tomorrow. We'll pick up with that brisa about litra katsios, and we'll see where that Tana says this shita. Okay, everyone have a great day.